All right, Soccer is Life here. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Axel. We have two exciting guests here. Basically, they're a duet, part of the Bianconeri show. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves right now.
Hey guys, this is Martina. I am Juve Designer.
And this is AJ, or Juve AJ on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning in to Soccer is Life podcast. We are proud to be here today from the Bianconeri show, and I hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Thank you guys for introductions. It's definitely a pleasure to have you guys here. Well, we can talk a little bit about how we came to meet, I guess, you know, for the general public. You know, on our page, Soccer's Life podcast, we're following Juve Designer. You know, she looked like she had a great following. So we thought it was just timely to follow her, and, you know, we didn't really think anything of it, really. We didn't even know that she was living in the U.S. Or anything like that. So we did see that they were starting a podcast, her and Juve AJ. And so, you know, we started from there. I think it was pretty much like Thursday or Friday of last week. Yeah. You know, obviously they're Juventini. So I thought, you know what? All we do here is pretty much, you know, Premier League, but, you know, every once in a while we like to cover different stories. We did something about the Women's World Cup. We didn't have a chance to talk about the Copa America, but we've done something about Napoli in the past. That was more of like a, I guess, a timeless story that you can listen to whenever. It's not really time restraint, like, you know, this one will be, for example. Whatever we cover today, you know, you can still listen to it anytime, but, you know, I'm sure it'll be obsolete and, you know, 3 months, let's say. So, you know, whenever I, as soon as I met you guys, found out about you, I said to myself, you know what, we can make a Juve special here, just in a grand scheme of things of covering different things. So, yeah, definitely happy that this is happening, finally.
Yeah, of course.
We're excited.
Yeah, so, I mean,
especially
I guess,
now.
Yeah, you guys can tell me, you know, each, how did you find out about Juventus? I mean, is it a grandparent, a parent, or an uncle, or not, that took you to the stadium? Or just, you know, basically let us know about your Juve love story, basically.
So me, I'm originally from Italy, and my dad is a huge fan of Juventus. Mm-hmm. So when I was born, you know, he just put it into my head, hey, you have to be a Juve fan, you have to be a Juve fan. And when I was little, I didn't really care that much about it. I just knew that I had to be because of my dad.
Yeah.
But then when I, you know, when I grew older, I started watching the games, loving the sport. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the actual love and passion came in. And now it's literally everything for me. Now I have my page.
Nice.
All I do is talk Juve, dream Juve, breathe Juve. So
yeah,
that's all I do.
That's really cool. If you were to tell me, I don't know, let's say like a top three of your favorite Juve players, who would they be?
Right now or all times?
Let's say all time. You know, right now is not really fun. It's always fun to go back behind a little bit.
I mean, for sure, Del Piero, that he is one of the main reasons.
Uh-huh.
Then I would say Buffon, number two, and mm-hmm. number three, probably Nedved. I saw him play. That mm-hmm. was the first time I saw Juve, and I saw him play, and then, you know, he stuck there with Juve all the time. So
yeah,
for Nedved, sure, him was my third.
Nedved was really special, and it's really cool that, you know, he joined the backroom staff right after, really. So, and now, you know, we know that he's involved in a lot of the deals that happens, you know, with Juve, Agnelli, Paratici, and all of that. So, yeah, Nedved is definitely up there as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, what a tough question. Go ahead, Juve AG.
Yeah, so what's up, guys? So I was originally born in Colombia, and the team that I follow over there is called Atletico Junior of mm-hmm. Barranquilla. And it's funny because actually I was watching an old videotape that I have, which explained kind of the history of my club.
Right.
And the name is actually based off of Juventus, which is one of the main reasons that I started following Juventus and kind of getting into, you know, the whole story, all of, you know, Serie A and all of this. I've always been a huge fan mm-hmm. Of football in general. I've always watched the Premier League. I've always watched Champions League and you know, the main clubs over in Europe. But once I found out this amazing story of how my club was formed, I really felt a connection with Juventus, and, you know, the love just kind of grew from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, we know that Serie A was like, you know, it had a, there was a time when, you know, Serie A was really on top of the world. And I think, you know, the sum of that was probably in the year 2000s. So how was it for you, you know, being in Colombia? It wasn't like, let's say, Real Madrid and Barcelona more popular, for example?
Yeah, especially, you know, with all of my friends and all that, most people were either Barca or Real Madrid. Mm. You know? We would get together to watch Clásicos and stuff like that, especially during my time. I know during my brother's time, it was a lot more popular to watch, you know, these Juventus Milan, Juventus Inter games and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But yeah, yeah.
I'm glad that Serie A is making a comeback.
Serie A is coming back, yeah. We're for sure, we have a lot to talk about. Okay, so you want to give us your top three players as well? You know, they should be a little different than what Martina gave. You know, Martina gave the obvious ones that, you know, I think everyone should go with. But yeah, let us know about yours.
At number one, of course, Del Piero, but I'll leave him out.
Yeah.
I'll say Zidane.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, what a player he was.
What a player. People tend to forget that he played for Juve, actually.
Yeah, I know. People, you know, they're obsessed that he played with Real Madrid. But, yeah, you know, before that, he was with Juve.
Yeah.
I'll go Platini, just because of the legend that he was.
Oh, yes.
And I'll go Il Principe, Marchisio.
Marchisio, yeah. I didn't like the way it ended, you know, with the story with Juventus.
It was a sad way that he left.
It was so sad, you know. And now, I mean, I think he has no club right now. He's looking for a club, just working out on the internet. But yeah, Il Principino, yeah, definitely one for the fans as well.
He should come over here in the States.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a market for him, you know. You can't tell me that, you know, nobody could use a Marchisio here.
For sure.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Inter Miami will get him.
Yeah, maybe
to the MLS next year.
Maybe Beckham will start. I mean, so Inter Miami, they'll be based out of Miami. Are you guys in Miami or?
We're in Tampa.
We're in Tampa, but
it's like
three hours
away.
3 hours away, okay.
A lot of my life in Miami, and some of my family's over there, so
right.
I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for that team. I actually even bought a hat from them.
Oh, shit, okay. Well, I like the logo, like, you know, I like the pink flamingo. I think it's really fashionable, you know, just follows in line with everything that David Beckham represents, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. When are they going to start in the MLS season, actually?
Like March 2020?
Yeah, so okay. the next season they're going to be starting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, it's coming up pretty soon then.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only have like two players signed and they don't have a manager, so they have to get going.
Yeah, they really have to get, you know, it seems like it's right around the corner. So, yeah, I'm hoping they have some things on their mind. If not, they better get to work on it.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the Juventus podcast for people who are joining us now. This is basically, I mean, we don't really have like a working title right now, but this is basically a podcast about Juventus this year. And our premise is that, you know, this is going to be Juventus's probably most important season in modern history, at least we can say. And I think the point of this podcast is, you know, just to talk about everything that happened with Juve in the last decade or so, because the club has seen a transformation that's without a precedent before. You know, if you talk about what happened 10 years ago, you know, everything that's Calciopoli and all of that, you know, being relegated to Serie B, losing all of your prime players, you know, the Zlatans, the freaking Cannavaros. Most of them did, you know, with the exception of, you know, I can say the Buffons, the Del Pieros and all of that, you know, whereas they had chances to, you know, probably go to Real Madrid, Barcelona, you know, Manchester United and all those clubs, whatever you want. So, yeah, you know, just I guess this will be, you know, Andrea Agnelli's leadership. We're going to talk about that, you know, what he has done for the club in the last decade. And then we're going to cover Maurizio Sarri chapter a little bit, just to talk about, you know, what are some of his ideas. What did you guys think about the appointment when it was decided? We're going to talk about the transfers as well. You know, I guess that's one of the most exciting topics. And, you know, just generally the upcoming season, what's expected in the Serie A, what's accepted in the Champions League and all of that. So, yeah, let's get to it. All right. So Juventus has always been, you know, always been a leader of some sorts, you know, in Italy, but also around Europe. I mean, what they're doing right now in Italy and what they've been doing in the past 10 years is nothing short of unbelievable. To go from, I mean, you see the Milan clubs, you know, the way they're struggling, Inter Milan and AC Milan. And they, you know, they haven't really known the turmoil that Juventus has known in the past decade, as far as having to be relegated, you know, losing the title and all of that, and having to come back stronger than ever. So, how did you guys? What do you make of Juventus? You know, let's say ascension in the last couple of years. You know, we remember when they came back to Serie A. You know, Conte was appointed as well. They won everything. Three Scudettos in a row, I believe. And then, you know, came Max Allegri as well. How did Juventus go from the worst of the worst to being, you know, right now probably one of the best in Europe? What do you guys have to tell me about that?
So, I mean, when we went back to, went down to Serie B, I mean, we were at the bottom, you know. Mm. We lost a lot. And the only thing that we had to do is go back up. So, I mean, the club did everything from every single field to take the team back up, and not only back up to where we were before, but to a point way more, you know, competing and more.
Yeah, just to a point way like to where Juve is going to be, you know, competing with the major teams of Europe, not only in Serie A and in Italy, but, you know, they wanted to take the team to a higher level. We reached the lowest low, and then, you know, the management put into their minds that, you know, Juventus does not deserve to be in Serie B. Mm. They deserve to be in the top of the top, and they deserve to be, you know, some of the best in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, Andrea Agnelli, he's been a tremendous leader for Juventus. I remember, I mean, you know, this was more, I was not in Italy anymore, but, you know, I loosely remember, you know, the jerseys, you know, which year they were here, which other year they were in this competition, this other competition. I remember at some point they're in the Europa League, so, you know, still climbing at the time. And I think it's more around 2013-14 that Juve again became a mainstream conversation, and let's say football fans will be talking football in France or in freaking England or in Spain. You know, obviously everybody knows the Juve history, what they stand for, all of the great players and the legends who play for them. But, you know, nobody really, they were not really on the radar. I mean, I guess I can say since the 2003 Champions League final with against AC Milan, they were not really on top of Europe like they did, you know, like they just come back now. I mean, I remember 2015 now, Champions League final with Barcelona. I mean, that's the difference that 10 years can make.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, like I said, Juventus reached the lowest point, and I think, you know, appointing Conte as the manager was a turning point for Juventus. You know, we started, you know, we got a world-class manager, and then we started getting world-class signings, and we saw just the way that, you know, we had just the hard work that Juventus had put in to get to the point that, you know, Conte eventually reached. His first season, he won the Scudetto, and then he eventually, you know, form the team that Allegri would take over a few years later.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the leadership a little bit here. You know, obviously, I mean, the organization and the structure that happened, all of the branding strategy. I mean, talking about avant-gardist, you know, and, you know, just pushing the envelope, always striving to be the best version you can be. I mean, even the stadium ownership, I think Juve is probably the only team that owns their stadium in Italy right now?
In Italy, yes. Yeah. Right now, yeah, we are.
Which is a different, I mean, it's a different beast. It's a different animal. Like, owning your own stadium, and that's, I guess, one of the root causes of the, you know, like the football in Italy really going bad. Nobody owns their stadiums, you know, you can't really make money off of your stadium. So when times are hard, you feel it even harder because, I mean, you compare to England, for example, most clubs own their stadiums. I think in France, only Lyon own their stadium right now. It's still something that's, you know, spreading throughout Europe, but it's definitely a good business model. So anyway, back to Agnelli. I want to talk about his leadership and everything that he's done. When is it that he is appointed president again? I mean, it's, I know that, you know, obviously his family owns the club. I know he went to business school and all of that. I guess to sharpen the knife. When is it exactly when he comes back officially and has a position with the club?
I mean, the Agnellis have always been running the club. As you said, you know, the families are the owners of the club. Mm. And I think, you know, the presidency has been kind of spinning around the Agnelli family for a while. Mm. I think it was in the 2010-2011 season that that Andrea took over the actual presidency of the club.
Mm. I mean, I remember this guy. I remember pictures of him when he was a kid, basically. You know, he was in the stands sometimes with, you know, some players who happened to not play, like the Del Pieros and all that. You know, this guy basically grew up with the club. I mean, he has the club, you know, through his veins, basically. He knows everything that's needed at the club, everything inside out. And, I mean, it, you know, seems like a guy who doesn't really speak much, but, you know, so calculated. I mean, just a different mind, you know, and I would say a level of his own. What do you have to say about Andrea Agnelli and his leadership so far?
I mean, everything that he did is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Because when he started, that's when basically Juventus started reaching amazing, you know.
Amazing heights once again, because I think, you know, black and white runs through his veins.
Right.
He has grown up, you know, around all of these amazing players, as you said, like the Pieros, the Buffons, the Marchisios. And I think, you know, him witnessing Juve's low point, I think, is also a factor in his achievements so far, because he knows where the club does not want to be. And he has a goal that he is aiming towards, which right now is obviously the Champions League final, since, you know, I think we're the club that has most losses in Champions League final.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are just cursed with the finals in general.
Yeah, since 96 we haven't won it. Mm. So it's been a struggle, but, you know, obviously, you know, bringing in Pirlo, bringing in Pogba, you know, forming him, bringing in Tevez, all these big players, and then eventually bringing in Cristiano Ronaldo, is just, you know, he's made a statement not only for the club, but just for Juventus in general.
Yeah, definitely a statement. I mean, and, you know, with this guy, to me, the impression that I have is just that he really, there's really a distinction between him and the rest of Serie A, I guess. You can see that, you know, they're on a different level, even like on a corporate, corporate side of things, you know. I mean, obviously, I know that, you know, Jeep is owned by Chrysler, so, you know, by Fiat and, you know, all of the family, basically. All of the strategic partnerships that they've achieved, it just seemed like they were out of, they were not in Italy. It seemed like the rest of Italy could not really compete, you know, whatever they were doing, you know. I mean, we can also talk about their free transfers. I mean, who do they have? They had Pirlo, they had Pogba, like you said, they had the Rabiot now, they've had Aaron Ramsey as well. I mean, there's just, whenever we talk about Juve right now, people, I think, you know, recently, they think about the free transfers and all of the incredible business that they do. I mean, so I remember when Agnelli came back, he's the one who brought back, he's the one who brought Marotta with him, right?
Yeah, the year that Agnelli started at Juve, it's when Marotta came in as well.
And so Marotta was, if I understand correctly, Marotta was with Conte at whichever club he was before, or they came separately?
They came separately.
Okay. I believe it's Paratici that was with Marotta then at Sampdoria or something like that.
Yeah, they were at Sampdoria together.
So how did he put together his backroom staff? We know that Fabio Paratici is the technical sporting director, whatever you want to call it. We know that he was under Beppe Marotta's wings before. You want to tell me a little bit about the backroom setup as it was around, like, let's say 2010, 11, 12, when Agnelli had just come back?
Yeah, so when Agnelli, you know, was hired to be the president, He brought in Marotta, he brought in Paratici to kind of start forming, you know, this alliance in the club, and to get these guys who have had experience, but you know, they needed to make that extra step. And I think that especially now with Beppe bringing in Paratici under his wing, you know, Paratici pretty much learned from who was the best at the time. You know, he brought in these amazing players, not only, you know, on good deals, but also on free transfers, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And now we see those effects coming into play even to today. You know, last year with Cristiano Ronaldo, this year with De Ligt, you know, they've made some amazing signings over the years. And, you know, now teams are not only wanting the Real Madrids, the Barcelonas, the, you know, these clubs that have been big during, you know, all of history. But now, you know, players like the likes of De Ligt, who had offers from many, many clubs, you know, the Barcelona, PSG, United, you know, he chose Juventus. And people say, okay, yeah, it's, oh, he chose it for the money. But nah, man, I mean, you know, you can't beat this defending style that Juventus has and that the Serie A has, you know. You know, you can go to Barcelona, who is, you know, more of a tiki-taka.
Yeah.
But the leadership that is at Juventus right now with Chiellini, with Bonucci, with Buffon, I think that De Ligt made an amazing choice, and I think that was a very big influence on his choice as well.
Yeah, I mean, the people who say it's for money, I mean, I think they're a little cynical. I understand if he went to United, it will be for the money, because, you know, at this point, it pretty much means that you, as a young player, you have no ambition if you want to come to our club. But that's a conversation for another day, sadly. I mean, look, Juventus right now is definitely in the conversation. As far as when you talk about big clubs, top elite clubs in Europe, so subsequently the world, Juventus is in the conversation. Whenever there's a new talent, you know, who started to go to the Madrids, the Barcelona, Atletico, and all of that, I mean, Juventus is a team that also positions themselves right now. Obviously, this, you know, is partly due to, you know, a major figure being at the club right now, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo since last summer. What a crazy transfer that was, by the way. We can talk about that as well. But, you know, I mean, as far as, like, the statement of intent, I think Juve have done everything right now. Their club is looking so sleek and professional, and structured in a proper way. Finances, everything is all good. Stadium ownership and all of that as well. And then last summer, Cristiano Ronaldo arrives. I mean, how much of a statement can you make, you know? It's true right now, you know, De Ligt coming to Juventus. I mean, right now, basically, Juventus has an amazing sporting projects to offer to players. You know, it's not just, oh, come here and win the Serie A 8-9 times in a row. Come here and, you know, compete for the Champions League. Come here and you get to go to the final. Come here and you get to play with Ronaldo. You get to play with the Gianluigi Buffon, you know. I mean, all of those are factors that motivate players, you know. We know that football career is not really long, you know. I would say 10 years if you're lucky without injuries. So whenever players have the chance, the occasion to sign with a big team, you know, that's going to compete on the European stage and on the domestic level as well, people always go for that. I mean, it's just an easy choice, right? Surely we can't say right now that someone going to Juventus is for the money, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, money is always, you know, in there, and it's an important factor for a lot of players.
Yeah.
But definitely lately, a lot of players, as we saw, like De Ligt and Cristiano, came in here for the challenge. I mean, Juve won everything in Italy, but has been a long time since we won in Europe. And definitely that's our priority, and that's what we want to achieve, and that's our main goal this year and forever. I mean, I mean, if it's not this year, it's going to be next year, but it has to be done soon.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, we've been competing for how many, like more than 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
16 years, and we haven't reached anything in Europe. So it's our time. We need to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel that it's coming for sure.
Mm-hmm. I know that this year is going to be a little bit more challenging because we have a lot of changes. I mean, the new coach, you know, a lot of new players, new tactics. So it's going to be hard, very challenging. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. I'm just going to say that it's harder than before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in Europe, there's very good teams right now. I mean, Barcelona is looking crazy. Atleti is also building up. So, you know, it's going to be hard for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, so this is a good segue to go into right now. Obviously, you know, let's talk about the Massimiliano Allegri just a little bit before moving on to Maurizio Sarri. Okay, so I remember when, you know, Allegri used to coach AC Milan, you know, when Ibra, Boateng and all of that were playing for him. And then, you know, I guess Antonio Conte left Juventus because, you know, he deemed that it was not financially backed enough. Which is a really comical story at the time, you know, if you compare it to the rest of Italy. But, you know, soon after came Allegri, you know, I mean, I remember the fans were just pissed off. They were like, what the fuck? How are we going to inherit, like, a Milan, AC Milan reject? That's not how we do things here at Juve.
Yeah, I was not happy when they said that Allegri was going to be our coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think nobody was happy. You know, anybody who was affiliated with Juventus was not happy at all. So, I mean, you know, obviously he left the club this past summer now. But, you know, he came on extremely hated by everyone. And then, you know, I think he's won, what, 5 Scudettis after Conte?
Yeah.
And then two Champions League finals in 3 years as well. One in 2015 against Barcelona. Another one 2017 against Real Madrid. I mean, could you guys think that he was going to have such a successful time at Juventus? I think not, but... what do you think brought the end? I mean, is it because we saw the limit of his coaching ability, or?
I mean, when he came, as I said before, I was not accepting him to do good at Juve just because of his past.
Mm.
But he proved us all wrong. I mean, with his only first year, he took us to the finals. That was beautiful. But to what happened last year and last 2 years, basically, you know, in the other Champions League final against Real Madrid, we saw, you know, the first half was amazing, and then something happened in between the two halves that we still don't know what happened, and that since then, basically, there were a problem between Allegri and the players, mostly like Dybala and Bonucci, you know.
So that's
and
what
that's that scandal.
That's what you would say was the turning point of Allegri.
I mean, I think so. I mean, obviously we don't really know because nobody really told us the truth.
Yeah.
But I think that final, you know, proved us that something was wrong.
I think something
Maybe
did
we
happen.
Didn't see it before.
Yeah.
Maybe it was there before, but we never really saw it. You know, because we were winning and winning and winning, and then, you know, it was the Champions League final, and then, you know, there's so many emotions and so much to win that then something happened that, who knows?
Yeah, you know what, you're totally right. Now that I remember, I mean, that's what, you know, basically made Bonucci go to AC Milan the year after, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently in the dressing room, Dybala and Bonucci got into a fight, and then, you know, the whole thing just came out. Bonucci was fighting with Allegri.
Yeah.
And then eventually he just, you know, he wanted to leave and he eventually went to Milan.
It wasn't Dani Alves involved as well?
Yeah, I mean, Dani Alves, you saw the statements that he made the other day.
Yeah.
About his time at Juve. And then apparently he got offered back to us this season, but I guess Juventus didn't really want him.
Yeah.
Now that he went to Sao Paulo.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bonucci, that was a... just horrendous decision. I mean, you know, I don't know how he came to that decision. I you know, ironically, I thought that, you know, he was going to bring back AC Milan. I mean, that, you know, project, like, you know, just miserably failed, basically. Now, you know, he goes to a point where he was once hated by AC Milan, adored by Juve, and then loved by AC Milan, hated by Juve, now hated by both, or what can we say about him?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a...
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what was in his head. I mean, we don't know what happened, so it's fine. But I don't even know what to say. He regretted after all, so...
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, I guess his celebration, you know, Sciacquati la Bocca, like, you know, when he scored against Juventus, and that was, like, right in between Chiellini and Barzagli, you know, and, you know, straight at Buffon. powerful header that he made, obviously celebrated like his life depended on it. I mean,
it was funny because initially he was running towards the U fans, and then I guess he realized he wasn't really.
I'm not here anymore. Yeah, correct. Oh my God. Yeah, Allegri. Yeah. Okay. So limitations to his tactics. I mean, I think he was a brilliant manager. It's sad that he couldn't deliver this to Juventus. You know, I mean, I wish they won it in 2015 when Buffon was there, Pirlo was there, and all of that. Sadly, it didn't happen. Okay, let's get into Maurizio Sarri now. 1 year at Chelsea, you know, semi-successful, nothing really to say. And that's why also the Chelsea fans, you know, easily accepted that he was going to leave. They were not necessarily attached to him. I think he missed Italy as well a lot. He had trouble, I think, adapting to English soccer and, you know, I guess the English way of life as well. Not being able to smoke in a stadium, maybe. So let's talk about Maurizio Sarri. What did you think about his appointment? I mean, I know that, you know, Juve and Napoli went toe-to-toe a lot of the times when he was there. So, I mean, this decision came out, I think it really surprised both sets of fans, both sets of cities as well. Tell me about how you reacted to the appointment.
I mean, I reacted very similar to when Allegri was appointed by Juve. Right. I was not happy, you know, because I was like, okay, oh my God, like, he's super different. He's from another team, you know, just very different from Juve and what Juve believes in, I think. Mm. But I'm always open to see what he can prove us. You know, Allegri proved us completely wrong to all of us. So I hope Sarri does the same with Juve this year.
Yeah, because, I mean, the difference between Sarri and Allegri is that, you know, Allegri was not really known to... I mean, I'm sure he was a fine tactician, you know, just because he's Italian. But Sarri came to England with this reputation of, you know, playing this exciting sort of football. You know, he was praised by Pep Guardiola every week, saying that, you know, oh, Sarri is one of the best coaches in the world right now, the way he plays. I mean, it really... made Napoli like a little bit like a hipster club. You know, everybody who was new to football was like, oh, I like Napoli because they play like this and like that. So at least, like, you know, from a reputation point of view, you know that you're going to get, you know, more or less silky football with him, right? If you compare it to Allegri.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different style of play. Allegri was obviously more defensive. Mm. Maurizio Sarri.
More Italian, you would say, right?
Yeah, more Italian. I mean, Sarri is, you know, he's kind of an outcast in the sense of he doesn't play that traditional Italian style. He plays, you know, more attacking football, more first touch football, that Sarri ball, similar to the tiki-taka that Guardiola plays over at Manchester City currently.
Yeah.
So it's a big change. I think people at first are happy, you know, they're happy because a lot of people were complaining of Allegri and, you know, just that his time was over. He didn't have much, you know, many new ideas. They wanted to see better football. Obviously, Juventus won the Scudetto last year, but it wasn't really playing beautiful football. You know, it was just, you know, grinding out the wins and doing whatever it took to win, but which in the end is what matters. But I think the fans really wanted a change and wanted to see how, you know, Juventus obviously has great attacking players, and I think they weren't really being utilized the way they should be.
I know that, you know, Juve works in a way that I guess we call that the continental model. Basically, you know, a decade ago, you know, when Mourinho was on top, when Alex Ferguson, you know, Wenger were on top and all of that, the manager used to be the king, right? Like, the manager will make all the decisions. Which players we buy, where do we play such and such player. But now there's a continental model where, you know, we understand that, you know, coaches will not stay with a team for more than 2 or 3 years. So we look at them as the expendable. You know, we kind of build a team, you know, in conjunction with the technical director, sporting director. So I guess in this case it will be Paratici, Nedved and all of that. And we kind of like buy the assets according to the culture that the club wants, the type of football that they want to play. And then we bring a manager that suits the players, as opposed to bringing a new manager and then new manager getting new players again, right? I think we can see that's your model. So based on that, do you think that Sarri has all of the tools that he would need to succeed with his style, his playing style?
You know, there's a couple days left in the transfer window, and I think Juventus really need to utilize it. Obviously, we saw the defense get a remodeling, which we needed very badly. Obviously, Chiellini, you know, he's at the last stages of his career. Mm. Barzagli just retired. Bonucci is 33. I think he's about to turn 34. So, you know, in the lights of De Ligt and Demiral, who was impressive at Sampdoria last season, and right. He did well with the Turkish national team over mm-hmm. the summer. Mm-hmm. That was really the major reformation that we needed.
Right.
Obviously, the midfield with Rabiot and Ramsey, two quality mm-hmm. and free transfers. I think that, you know, Sarri is still looking for someone else up top. You know, obviously we were linked to Lukaku.
Oh my God!
You know, nowadays we'll talk about that. Nowadays it's hard to see what the manager wants, because, like you said, now it's pretty much building a team and letting the manager adapt to the team. Mm. But I think, you know, Paratici and Nedved are smart guys. They're gonna, you know, bring in the people who will suit his style while still maintaining a plus balance and all this. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see what the transfer window brings to us. So
yeah,
there's still a couple more days.
Yeah, still a couple more days. Yeah, a lot of the markets that are still open. I mean, so when I think about Sarri, especially at Napoli, I mean, some of the beautiful, exciting, out of this world football that they're playing. You know, I guess the first thing that I think about is Jorginho, you know, his number five. Obviously, in Juve, it's going to be Pjanic, was the same number as well, ironically. So this position is more like, you know, I guess a quarterback if you're compared to American football, right?
Yeah, it's very similar. Obviously, you know, Sarri loves Jorginho. He took him to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Obviously, getting him back is going to be a lot more difficult since Chelsea have the transfer ban, so they can't bring anybody. Yeah, they can't bring anybody in to replace him. But I think Pjanic can fill that role fairly quickly. He can adapt to Sarri's play. And
oh yeah, I think he does that really easily. And now, so I mean, one of the things that I wanted to talk about as well. Obviously, it's been a crazy past couple of months for Gonzalo Higuain, leaving Juventus against. Well, first of all, let's start with leaving Napoli. You know, to Juventus for a big money fee a couple of years ago. You know, I mean, just excelling with Juve, reaching new heights, and then being sold to Milan against his wishes, we could say, to accommodate Ronaldo. You know, went on to play for Chelsea on loan, came back to Juve because he was actually never actually bought for Milan. Let's talk about him. I mean, I know that he scored, what, like 36 Serie A goals when he was playing up top with Maurizio Sarri. I think that's the Serie A record as well. Right now, I'm hearing things that, you know, he might be sold to AS Roma before the end of the transfer window. I mean, this guy, he reached crazy heights with Sarri. Why wouldn't it be the same with Juventus? Is it because you think he lost a step or two?
Well, when he came to Juve back in the days after Napoli. Mm. I know that there was a lot of criticism with his weight, and I think that might also be one of the reasons, you know. Okay, he did a lot in Juve, but he was never the same that he was in Napoli. Mm. Maybe it was his physicality, who knows? A lot of mentality as well, you know. Mentally, he was not 100%, mostly when Juventus kicked him out, sent him to Milan and then Chelsea. But recently, I've been hearing that Sarri apparently doesn't think he needs him, that he's not in his plans. So he does not want to leave Juve, but if Sarri does not think that he fits the team that he wants, then there's a problem there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he must know what he's talking about because he brought him to Chelsea, really, because Chelsea did not want Gonzalo Higuain. They also have this policy, they want young players only, and Sarri had to go against the president and the CEO to really beg them to let him sign Higuain. So I think that, you know, from his time at Chelsea, he saw that the player that he got was a different one than the one he knew at Napoli. You know, too much carne asada for Higuain, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Sarri definitely knows him. So if he does not think that he fits the, you know, the plan of Juve, then he doesn't, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches that Juve has up top. You know, obviously we know the... let's talk about the transfers, and then we're going to talk about the lineups, actually. So, so far, you guys have had the lead, obviously. Tremendous player. You know, he was linked to all sorts of clubs in Europe. In the end, chose Juventus. You guys got Adrien Rabiot from Paris as well on a free. Demiral, I don't really know much about him. You guys got Aaron Ramsey as well, which I think was a tremendous signing. I mean, I was making fun of my Arsenal friends because, you know, what happened at Arsenal was actually nothing short of ridiculous. They gave a contract to Aaron Ramsey and then they pulled the contract back. So that's actually why the fans are really sympathetic to him, because they know that it's the club that did not want him anymore, right? So the club pushes him out and this guy, he gets to not be a loser. And at the same time, he gets to play with Ronaldo. He gets to win the Serie A every year, basically. He gets to, you know, compete in the Champions League. He gets to play, first of all, in the Champions League. And on top of that, he gets a crazy fat salary. I mean, like, this guy basically won the lottery by joining Juventus.
Yeah, literally. I mean, in Arsenal, he didn't even play that much. So even also that, he will play a lot more at Juve.
Yeah,
hopefully,
I mean,
if he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, that's the thing with him, always injuries. But yeah, I mean, to me, brilliant signing as well. I mean, I was wondering why you guys paid him so much. I think the reports that I saw were, what, like around 400,000 a week?
Yeah, it's like 300,000 to 400,000 a week. Obviously, you know, with free transfers, since you're not paying the first initial fee, you could offer the players a little bit more.
Yeah, that's true, but it's like it's Aaron Ramsey, so it's like... It's not really like a really marketable player for who you could play. I understand if they spend some money like that on Mbappe or on Neymar or Ronaldo.
Right.
You know, so I was surprised that they spent that on him and not like on a different player that they could have brought on, you know, like a De Ligt or a Pogba or whatever. So I was a little taken back by that. But I mean, you know, congratulations to him, obviously, you know, more money.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he's playing in the best team in Italy and obviously alongside... You know, crazy players like Ronaldo and like Chiellini and all them.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, from Arsenal to Juventus, what a freaking, you know, it's day and night. I compare it. And then who else did you guys have? You guys had Pellegrini from Roma, I think.
Yeah, on a swap with Spinazzola.
With Spinazzola, yeah. Spinazzola had a really good game. Was it against Atletico?
Yeah, the second match against Atletico,
yeah.
He had a crazy game.
Fucking hell. That was, what a game he had that day, Spinazzola.
What a comeback, yeah.
Crazy. Pellegrini, wait, so is Pellegrini a fullback or a more of a center back?
No, he's a left back. So he was actually playing with the young Italian team during the Euro, I think the U21s.
Okay,
so
going to the final.
He's an up-and-coming player. He has more prospects. You know, he's a little bit of a prospect on the left wing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then obviously you guys, Buffon, he came back as well. I don't think we need to talk more about that. I think it's basically, you know, bringing more winning leaders around the dressing room. I think that always helps in terms of mentality. But also, I mean, you know, I think he wants to beat Paolo Maldini's Serie A record, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's 8 matches away from beating it.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, a lot of people were saying that he had a clause in his contract and all that, which ended up being, you know, complete bullshit. But I think even he would have beaten the record anyway. You know, even if it wasn't at Juve, maybe he would have went to another Serie A team. Or, you know, if Juve weren't relegated in 2006, he would have beat it a long time ago. So
yeah, it's gonna be weird to see him with the number 77 jersey. Is that what he chose?
Yeah, I guess he wants that double for Ronaldo on his back.
yeah, exactly. All right.
That was the one that he wore back in the day before coming to Juve.
So. Oh, okay, when he was at Parma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I didn't realize that. All right, transfers. Well, obviously, let's talk about the big elephant in the room. So I think beginning of last week. is when we first starting, you know, reading the reports, Dybala, Lukaku swap and all that. Look, as a United fan, you know, first of all, I had a great summer being away from Manchester United and all of the depression that comes with it. And lately, you know, it's the hope that kills you. That's what they say, right? You get sucked in these, you know, transfer rumors. You think it's going to happen and in the end it doesn't happen. And you're like, oh my God, you know. So, I mean, seeing this Dybala-Lukaku swap was kind of crazy because we already know that Lukaku is going to go. You know, we thought initially it was going to be to Inter because Conte really, really wants him. Has wanted him since Chelsea, basically. And then, you know, I think that it was more Manchester United that was, like, pushing this sort of news to basically put the pressure on Inter so that they could put the money down for Lukaku as soon as possible instead of keeping it late. But then the reports kind of persisted, and I think we got to a point where, you know, we knew for a fact that Juventus wanted Lukaku. You know, Paratici was in London to discuss with United and all of that. I mean, first of all, what do you make of this, of them wishing this swap deal? Why would they want to switch, let's say, Dybala for Lukaku?
I mean, I honestly have been trying to think and find a reason, like a real reason why we would do this transfer. I mean, it's not that I hate Lukaku, but I don't think they are the same value and Lukaku. So I don't know why we would do this deal, you know. I don't see the real reason, and I couldn't find it. But I'm not sure why we got so stuck and, like, obsessed with Lukaku in just literally this last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was really real. I mean, so from a Manchester United point of view, look, we have a weird relationship with Lukaku. He's not the best for our system. And that's why, you know, as fans, we're really okay with him leaving. We're not stressing out about it or anything like that. The truth is, you know, Lukaku is still a young player, 25 years old, I think. Still a lot of value for him to be sold. So first season was really good. You know, I think he scored something like 26 goals. Second season was a little weird. He was really hit and miss. He didn't score enough goals. But to me, I mean, I might insult him, you know, every once in a while. But I know that he's not right for our system, right? The way we play, he's not really the type of striker you want. But I know that, you know, there's still a top-class player in Lukaku there. I mean, look at when he plays, you know, with Belgium. You even remember him, like, at the World Cup last summer. That front three of him, Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard, what they did to Brazil. I mean, Lukaku is still a tremendous player, right? So I can see how certain coaches, i.e. Antonio Conte, would want him, you know, because of their system. But I don't really see, from a Juve perspective, how he will fit the system. What do you make of that? It's real peculiar for me to understand.
Yeah, I've never really understood this transfer rumor. Obviously, Sarri has a special way of playing, and I don't see how Lukaku could fit that, you know, that kind of one-touch football. Obviously, you know, we've seen the bloopers of Lukaku last season. You know,
Lukaku plays with Timberlands.
Yeah, exactly, and that's like, that's one of the reasons why I don't really understand it. Maybe it's, you know, Juve trying to avoid that transfer going to Inter. Maybe it's them trying to raise the price so Inter has to pay more. But maybe there's a problem with Dybala and they just want him out as soon as possible. But I've never really understood where this liking for Lukaku going to Juve under Sarri, at least maybe under Allegri, it's a different ball game because of these styles of play. But I don't see him fitting into, you know, the Sarri ball style play.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, you know, at some point last week it was pretty much for certain that, you know, Juve and United had reached a deal. Basically, the deal depended on Dybala saying yes to United. That was the only thing that was holding the deal back. United and Juve were, I think, you know, on the same page as far as the value of the two players, and that, you know, included United giving like an additional 10 or 20 more so that they could get Dybala. So yeah, it just depended on Dybala saying yes. Obviously, in the meantime, Dybala was still in Argentina, I think. He's come back since. You know, we heard these reports that he has to go to talk to Sarri on Thursday to understand what are his plans and to tell him that, you know, he wants to stay. And then we were reading other reports that, you know, oh, Dybala, he's really disappointed with the way Juve are treating him right now. They're telling him, like, don't even come back until August 5th because that's where your training was supposed to start. Don't worry about coming here. Worry about, you know, working out that deal with United. You know, sent his agents to London as well to talk to the United hierarchy. I think, from what I understand, they were asking, like, a really, really big contract to go to Manchester United. So I think that yesterday we heard that the negotiations broke down, really, because United didn't want to bend to Dybala's will. They wanted an agent commission as well. So I think that they were just, you know, trying to, like, drag their feet and make the negotiation last as long as possible so that, you know, come Thursday, maybe there's no time for him to join the club. So it looks like, you know, from this point now that he didn't really want to join the club. I mean, obviously we saw him go back for his medicals now after the long summer. Obviously greeted by the fans like crazy. He's a fan favorite as well. Dybala mask, La Joya, all of that. I mean, I'm sure you as fans, you don't want to see him go, right?
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I love Dybala, but I wouldn't, you know, be super sad if he goes.
Okay.
Just because of his performance lately in the past year, he hasn't been very consistent. He's not he's not mentally always ready, like, in the games.
Yeah.
If he has a problem, he brings it in the field, and then you can see it as in performance. You know, when under Allegri, he was, you know, he had a problem with him, and
yeah,
you could see it in the field. Like, he wasn't performing, he wasn't scoring, he wasn't really playing, he wasn't being that Dybala. So he has that problem that I don't really like in a player. You know, if you want to be, you know, the next legend of Juve, you shouldn't bring any other problem into the field. You just have to play and do your work.
Yeah, so
but that's
mentality.
How I feel. Yeah. I don't know how you feel, Jose.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a complicated relationship with Dybala. Obviously, last season wasn't his best. Obviously, you know, he said that he wants to be the next Del Piero. He wants to be the next club legend, which, you know, it's motivating, especially for the fans, to have a player like that on the team. But, you know, now in modern football, you don't see these kinds of, you know, Totti, the Rossis anymore.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, Juve want to win, and if Dybala is not in Sarri's plans, if, you know, if he feels that he's not going to fit the team, he's not going to, you know, get the best out of him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the club has to do what they got to do.
They got to make a decision, yeah. So would you compare, let's say, I mean, right now, obviously, he's still with the club. Nothing has happened officially yet. Would you compare a Dybala right now, a Dybala departure to a Marquinho departure when he left?
I think this one is worse. I think the fans are very angry. I mean, we've seen Dybala non si tocca trending on social media. And I think the club has not handled it very well. They've closed this deal without Dybala even knowing and pretty much just forcing him out. But in that sense, the club, you know, they have not handled the situation well at all.
Yeah, I think it's more in the way in which it happened, you know, basically trying to use Dybala as a pawn to make Lukaku come, you know. So I think it's in that way more. But then again, you know, as Martina said, I mean, yeah, Dybala, he hasn't really been... He's living off of his name right now, you know. Obviously, he had a really great relationship with Pogba before. He's also had Pirlo's number, which was Zidane's number back in the day. Now he has a number 10, you know, like Del Piero. I mean, this guy, everything has been put in front of him to really succeed, you know. Last year, obviously, Ronaldo came to the club, so... They don't really play in the same position, but, you know, you could say that he was going to take a place that was not claimed by anyone before. And now I feel like Juve, you know, think that if they don't sell this guy and he continues to underperform, his value is going to go down and down and down and down. So I think that they're at a point where, you know, they have a lot of striking, attacking options. and they feel like, you know what, maybe we could do without this guy, you know. But I don't know if Sarri agrees with what the leadership is thinking, though. I would think that Dybala was the kind of player that Sarri wanted to keep around him.
Yeah, because back, I don't remember when it was, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Sarri was saying that Dybala wasn't his plan, that he could play, you know, as a false nine behind the strikers. He was, like, talking all these options for him, putting them out. But then, out of nowhere, you know, they wanted Dybala out.
Yeah.
I don't know whose idea it was, if it was actually Sarri or if it was the management. You know, these things we're not going to really know unless they speak out about it. Mm. So personally, I don't really know. I think it's going to be the management because Sarri said those things. If not, he would have just, you know, didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
You know,
I think that's also why fans have been so taken back by this rumor. Because, you know, they expected Dybala and Douglas Costa to thrive under Sarri. Mm. And then out of nowhere, just, you know, they're trying to kick him out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, I was definitely not expecting this at all. But obviously, as a United fan, I was here for it. I really wanted for it to happen. But now, you know, if we are to believe the latest reports, then I don't want a Dybala anymore, you know. I mean, I don't want a player who doesn't want to be at the club. Also, if we talk about mentality issues, I mean, going to England when you have mentality issues is the last thing that you should do because, you know, the weather is all gray out there, always raining. I think that, you know, a lot of United fans have compared the situation with the Di Maria situation when it was really just kicked out of Real Madrid and he came to United, you know, without, you know, not on his will, really. It wasn't his first choice. So, you know, in the end, he didn't really adapt to the city, the club and all of that. So I think that ended up disastrously. And he's from Argentina as well. We're not really lucky with South American players. I don't know why. But yeah.
With Falcao.
Falcao, yeah. I mean,
Colombia.
Yeah, that
was sad to see him not be able to adapt to that.
Man,
to that
if we had like pre-ACL Falcao, I mean, I was, when we got him, I mean, if you look at my Facebook status at the time, it was just ridiculous when we got him. Just crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, so I want to talk about Cancelo as well. What's going on? You guys are letting him leave?
I don't even know. Another thing that I don't know what's happening is Cancelo. I mean, he is, in my opinion, the best right back, you know, out there at the moment.
Yeah.
He's young, he's fast, he plays, you know, he plays the ball.
He just joined the club last summer. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, there's this problem with the, first of all, fullback is one of the most important positions in world football right now. We see how Pep uses them. We see how Sarri wants to use them as well. I mean, Cancelo is pretty much a fullback, like the way you want them to be right now in the modern day. So I was really surprised by that, and I was also even more surprised with the valuation, because right now I'm hearing that Danilo goes the other way. I mean, for me, Danilo is worth $0. I mean, he's just a player, right? And then, so Danilo plus 30 million euros for Cancelo, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so apparently City are evaluating Danilo at like 30 million. And, you know, the beginning of the summer, Juve weren't open to receiving Danilo. They wanted straight cash, I guess. You know, I don't know if they're planning some, you know, high quality transfer upcoming and they needed the money, but I don't understand this transfer at all. I mean, it's been rumored that, you know, Cancelo has had some disciplinary issues, you know, his attitude.
Yeah.
And Sarri's not keen of, you know, him not performing that well defensively.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, changing him for Danilo, so now we have to start either Danilo or Decilio at right back, which is...
You already know Decilio. That was just really surprising. Because I think that's the deal is done already. Danilo will be in Torino tomorrow to do the medicals and all of that. So I think that when Paratici was in London, he was talking to both United and Manchester City for the Danilo Cancelo swap as well. I mean, in this transfer, I can only see Manchester City as the winner. You know, first of all, because they receive an unbelievable player, one that actually suits their system. This is pretty much a Pep kind of fullback, you know. So I mean, he's gonna kill in the Premier League, no doubt about it at all. He's joining a club that has unbelievable structure, organization, you know, profile and all of that. So definitely good for him. Basically going from a big club to another, I guess, big club now. But yeah, taken really aback by Juve's decision to let him go. Number one, to let him go, but number two, to let him go at that value. If I really wanted to get rid of him because of discipline or defensive issues or whatever, yo, if I'm being given Danilo, I will ask like 60 on top of that, not 30. Yeah.
Danilo is like, he's worth like maybe 15, 20 max. So we really got undercut on that deal. And plus we're strengthening a Champions League rival, which is just ridiculous.
Just ridiculous, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just really weird. Because I think that's actually happening. Obviously, we heard the Mandzukic rumors as well to United for 10 or 15 million.
How do you feel about that transfer, by the way?
Well, I will take him because Mandzukic is a player who works so hard. So I will take him. I'm more like not understanding of Ronaldo wanting to let go of Mandzukic because, I mean, Ronaldo, he had a really good relationship with Benzema at Real Madrid, and I believe that Benzema and Mandzukic are the same type of players when paired with a Ronaldo, you know, as in they work extremely hard for him, feed him the ball, you know, take spaces to take players out so that they leave more spaces for him, for Ronaldo, sorry. So I'm sure that Ronaldo, if you ask him personally, he loves Mandzukic and wants that type of player in his team so that he has less work to do. But yeah, I don't understand why Juve will let him go as well.
I would try to. I mean, I personally love Mandzukic.
Yeah, Mandzu is special.
He's a fighter. I mean, he's a warrior, you know. He's always up and down, getting every single ball. I don't want him to go, but I know that we are trying to sell both Higuain and Mandzukic to bring someone else in, you know, another nine, big nine apparently. Who knows at the end. But I'm not happy with him going, you know. But I know that we have to make changes to bring someone else big, you know.
I mean, I would let go Higuain before I let go Mandzukic, because I know that Mandzukic can play in other positions. He can play as he can play on the left side as well. I mean, he can really play anywhere in the front three.
Sure, and he's you know, he runs more. He just goes for every single ball way more than Higuain, you know.
He works extremely hard, so I was surprised by that as well. I mean, personally, I would take him. It's not really our style, but, you know, I think, you know, for the amount that you guys will let him go for, which is like 15 million euros maximum, I will take him and maybe, you know, see a surprise. If it works out, cool. If it doesn't, whatever, you know.
It's not too big of a risk.
So, I mean, right now, Juve has top players in all of the positions. Why don't you guys, you know, each tell me what you think is the best lineup possible with the players currently at the club?
Currently at the club,
I think goalkeeper Chesney, because of Buffon's age right now.
Yeah,
for sure. Then in the defense,
at right back, I don't know, man. That's hard to choose between Danilo and Desilio.
I mean, I would go with Desilio. I mean, he played good in the Asian Cup. I liked him.
Uh-huh. Apparently, Sarri is very keen of Desilio. He said he's one of the top three in the team right now, which is
kind of
people by surprise.
What?
Yeah, I trust. I mean, I know that last year didn't perform as good, but in the Asian Cup, I liked him.
Yeah,
he played good, so for sure Desilio. I mean,
over Danilo,
I mean, I haven't seen Danilo. You know, he's not even at Juve yet. So
yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Danilo, since he's, I mean, Desilio, since he's the only one, then
Delit on the right.
Delit.
Okay, so Delit is a starting player in your team, then. All right.
Honestly. It's hard. I mean, I love Demiral, the games that he played. So it's gonna be a tough decision. I don't think Chiellini is gonna be a starter, mostly now that he just got back from the injury that he recently got. But I think it would be Bonucci and De Ligt.
Especially since Juve paid such a premium for De Ligt, I think they have to, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of De Ligt's demand as well. I mean, because, you know, we know he was linked to Barcelona. He was very close to joining them. And as far as I know, he didn't go because, well, first of all, they didn't offer enough money, but also he was not guaranteed to start, you know, because they have Piqué and Lenglet over there, which, you know, I guess it's the same at Juventus. They have Chiellini, they have Bonucci. I mean, you know, it's he in the end, he chose Juventus. I guess, you know, the Decreto Crescita has something to do with that as well. But yeah, I'm surprised that you guys are talking about De Ligt or Demiral, and you know, you're saying that Chiellini is not possibly not going to start this year.
I mean, I'm saying what I actually think. You know, if I go with my heart, I would love Chiellini to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to win, Chiellini cannot be a starter at every single game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends, you know, if he's healthy. We saw last year how many times he got injured. I think Juve are gonna play most Serie A games without him,
mm-hmm.
and leave him for the important games.
Yeah.
If he's fit and if he's at the same level that he was last year and the year before.
Mm. Do you remember, before we continue, do you remember last year, I don't remember which game it was, I don't know if it was the Ajax or Atletico one, but Ronaldo was really looking behind this team and, like, you know, kind of telling everybody to press, support the attack. And I think that was, like, really telling of, you know, Italian football and, let's say, Italian old-school defenders who, you know, they're not really raised to go up the pitch, you know, during games. They really stay back and comfortable. You know, they're tremendous defenders, but maybe that's one thing that, you know, they don't really do in Italy as far as the old-school defenders like Chiellini. That everyone has adapted to in Europe. Would you say that was one of the factors maybe that it didn't work out in the Champions League?
Yeah, maybe. Now with Sarri, it's going to be different for sure.
But also we saw, you know, the games that we played without Chiellini was just a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm. It was
ridiculous.
Anyway, sorry.
But we also had a lot of problems, like with Benatia, you know, and then having to bring Cáceres.
When we were playing Emre Can in the back and as a center back. So.
Yeah. I liked him there, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not his position, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, who do you have in the? Wait, did you tell me the two center backs? You said.
I mean, my opinion is De Ligt and Bonucci.
When Chiellini's injured.
Yes.
When Chiellini's fit, I think Chiellini and De Ligt.
Oh yeah, that's his team. Who do you have on the left? I mean, it's only Alexandro, right?
I mean,
really,
it's
right?
Only Alexandro.
For sure, 100%.
Okay. The middle, I think, is
from him.
The midfield, I think, is another problem. Who do you have in there?
I mean, we haven't seen Ramsey play because he was injured. So I honestly, I don't know because of that. But if he's, you know, at his 100%
potential.
Yeah, then I would say Ramsey and Pjanic and Rabiot.
Oh, interesting.
If he's, you know, not injured, you know, perfect condition, everything is perfect, then I would put Ramsey there.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys have a good squad as well. I mean, you always have Matuidi that you can rely on. You have Bentancur, for God's sake, that you can rely on as well. I think Bentancur, like a lot of top clubs in Europe, could use him.
Yeah.
But it's good that you guys have him as a backup.
He played amazing in the Copa America.
I would take him right now. Like Bentancur,
yeah.
I would snatch him right now from your hands. What was I saying? So I mean, for Matuidi, it seems like, first of all, he left PSG because they wanted to leave Rabiot more room, so he went to Juventus, and now Rabiot comes to Juventus, and they're probably gonna offload Matuidi because they have Rabiot. Like, what the fuck is going on with the? I'm sure Matuidi is like, guy, like, stop following me wherever I go. Don't come, you know.
I mean, I think it's time for Matuidi. I mean, he's 33, I believe.
33, yeah. He has an engine with him, but still, yeah, it's a little old right now, I think.
Yeah, and Juve got him for around 18 million,
mm.
Whenever they did. And then, you know, if we sell him, they were asking for 20 to 25. So, you know, making either break even for a player who played two years in the club and he did very well. But I don't know if he sits into that role that Sarri will want him to play.
Yeah, that's true. What do you guys make of the front three then? Okay, so I'll make it easier. Ronaldo and then who else?
I mean, a lot depends who stays.
I think Douglas has to be in.
Douglas for sure.
Okay.
And then that other spot, I mean.
Bernardeschi?
Dybala, Bernardeschi.
And then a 9 if we bring in a 9, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we bring in anybody, I think that they'll be the starting. Yeah. If not, I think Dybala will be as the false nine and Ronaldo more to the left.
Yeah, because you guys could play different systems as well. You could play a 4-3-3. You could play like a 4-2-3-1. I mean, it's just a lot of, you know, you guys have a big personnel, and, you know, I guess it'll depend on which tactics he goes for. I mean, have you guys been excited by the tour so far? What did you guys make of the tour so far? Has it given you a good indication of how you guys are going to play this year?
I mean, at the beginning, I was like, oh my God, yeah, it's exciting. You know, they were playing the tiki-taka. They did it in a couple games, but then I saw the same Juve as I saw last year.
Right.
You know, it wasn't what I expected. Of course, we can't expect to see the Sarri ball since day one,
mm-hmm.
because they've been playing together for just a couple weeks. So it's not something that you can expect since day one. But we saw that Sarri ball in a few, you know, in one goal of Higuain. But there's just a lot still to work on, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and especially with him, it's like it's his system takes a long time all the time. It's like every time teams, you know, every time players work with coaches who are, you know, demanding like this, who are really like particular about the way they want to play. So I'm talking about the Guardiolas, the Sarris, the freaking what's the Argentina guy, Marcelo Bielsa. You know, people who are really, I mean, they are really football maniacs, basically. I think that it always takes a long time for players to adapt, really. So it's gonna be an interesting change for sure. We're gonna see how they do in the Serie A. I mean, they've always competed against Napoli recently. AC Milan and Inter have been a little bit dead, a little bit in the wilderness, you know, very unstable, changing ownership every freaking second. But now, you have Beppe Marotta and Antonio Conte at Inter. What do you guys think is going to happen this year? Do you think they're going to be your closest contender, or is it still going to be Napoli and Ancelotti?
I think Inter is going to do very good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have our two people, Conte and Marotta.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think in one of our podcasts, we said what we thought our top four were going to be. And I think I put Inter as number two.
Okay.
This year, Juventus, of course, number one. But I think they're going to, you know, step up their game. I know that Conte said that this is going to be their year that they want to win, you know.
Mm.
And they are spending money and they're doing, you know, what...
Major changes.
Yeah, what Marotta always did at Juve, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they got Barella as well.
Amazing signings.
Yeah, they got Barella. They're working on Lukaku. I don't know if it's going to happen. But if it does, obviously, it'll be, I think, a game changer for them because Conte really, really wants Lukaku. And I think, you know what, in the end, something that could always happen because you guys, your transfer period closes later in the month. Do you guys see yourselves doing like a Icardi-Dybala swap, maybe?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Dybala, if he was to leave, he'll go outside of Italy. I don't think he wants to go to Inter, especially imagine how the fans are going to react if, you know, La Hoya goes to Inter.
But they will understand that he was pushed out. It's not, it wasn't his number one choice, you know? Because I feel like he's a type of South American player, like, you know, I mean, he's basically Italian at this point. He's been he was in Palermo before. I think, you know, there's a level of comfort of them being in Italy, you know, quote-unquote at home, you know? So I feel like, I mean, you know, but maybe he will feel that it's weird, you know, for the Juventus fans, but I feel like he will want to stay in Italy if he were to leave Juventus.
It's entirely possible.
Maybe because Inter doesn't want Icardi anymore. And
Inter wants to get rid of him as soon as possible, like Nainggolan and Perisic as well.
I mean, but that was like such a poor tactic from Marotta and Conte to say that they didn't want Icardi anymore. I mean, of course, we know that they don't want him, but like voicing it as well, right when you're about to negotiate a fee for him, nobody's going to buy him for like 90 million, 80 million or whatever you were expecting to receive for him, you know? I mean,
exactly. He's a top player, and now, you know, they pretty much drove the price down themselves.
Exactly, and, yeah. Maybe that's that speaks to how much they really want to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's been saying he only wants to move to Juve, and if he doesn't get it, then he's just going to stay at Inter and collect his paycheck. So,
collect his paycheck, yeah. Yeah, I feel that's something that could happen, you know, if... Because, I mean, you know, Dybala has pretty much seen that whatever happens now, he knows that Juve could have done without him. So that's going to get to his head a little bit, you know. And it could be, you know, it could be one or two things. It could he could make him, you know, more unstable than he was before. Or it can he can use that as a as fuel, you know, to his fire. You know, who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think Napoli's still going to be the second contenders to you, especially if they bring in Chucky Lozano, like they were close to a deal.
Yeah.
Even if Icardi, you know, decides that he wants to go to Napoli, you know, that'll be a huge transfer and it's gonna be a competitor.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed by Napoli because, you know, the fact that Sarri went to Juve, I thought they were gonna wake up a little bit because I know that De Laurentiis doesn't really like to spend. You know, they bought Kostas Manolas, which is amazing. I mean, imagine that back line, like Manolas and Koulibaly as your center back partnership. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a good duo.
It's a tremendous duo.
There's a lot of competition to see who has the best defense.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly. So I wanted him to do the same, you know, with the attacking force. You know, I know that he bid 70 or 80 million for Nicola Pepe, who just joined Arsenal right now. So we know that, you know, they have money or they potentially have 70 to 80 million to spend. That could be on a Icardi, it could be on a Lozano from PSV. But, you know, I mean, I really want them to do something attacking-wise because I want them to compete. You know, I want Serie A to be interesting. I don't want Juve to win every year and for it to be boring, you know. So that's why I want Inter Milan to be back in the mix. I want Napoli to be back in the mix. So that can make Juve better, you know, if they have competitors. It will make them better at home and in Europe, you know.
Yeah, I think this year Serie A in general has, you know, it's more competitive than the last years,
right,
for sure. Definitely Inter, you know, Napoli, Roma, I mean, depending on who they bring in, and Milan, I mean, I don't know. But it's definitely more competitive this year, I think so.
Yeah.
If Napoli bring in Chucky, Lozano, and then they, apparently if Madrid don't sell James.
James Rodriguez, yeah.
11, yeah, then he's going to go over there on a loan with obligation to buy. So that'll be a pretty interesting tactic on Napoli's part, reuniting Ancelotti and James, which, you know, they love to be together.
Yeah.
He brought him to Madrid and then to Bayern, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think they really want him. It's just that Real Madrid has been, you know, they still think that James Rodriguez is worth I don't know how much because, I mean, I even saw this morning, like, James Rodriguez plus 20 mil for Pogba. I was like, come on, bro, come on. You can't do that type of deal anymore, you know. Nobody's going to bite, you know. So, I mean, we're going to see where James ends up. Still a tremendous player in there. I can't believe that he is right here in his career looking for a club, you know, uncertain where he's going to play compared to the potential that he has. I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, I think this was a great conversation for Juventus. We'll see what happens in Serie A and Champions League. And I'm sure we're going to invite you guys again to talk about it, especially if there are some interesting Champions League games with an English team, for example, or something like that, you know. So yeah, definitely a pleasure to have you guys on. We'll welcome you anytime again, and you guys can say goodbye, and I guess give information about your podcast as well, where the listeners can find you and all of that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, it was very nice to talk to you, and for sure we would love to have you on our podcast. It would be also nice to, you know, have you featured in ours.
Yeah, thank you.
At the Bianconeri show.
Yeah, as soon as my host comes back, you know, if we can find an angle for us to be invited, yeah, it will be our pleasure. I mean, we can talk anything, really. As I told you, we grew up around the world, so we can talk whichever kind of football, Spain, Italy, England, whatever, we can talk about it.
Maybe we can do a Champions League special once the draws are out.
Exactly, exactly.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. That'll be really cool. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Wait, did you guys say give us info about your podcast?
Oh, yeah. So you guys can find us on all of the podcasting platforms at the Bianconeri Show. Also on Twitter at Bianconeri Show. Facebook, Instagram at the Bianconeri Show. You can find me on Twitter at UVAJ and Martina at Juve Designer on all platforms. Hit us up if you ever want to be on the podcast or anything like that. And yeah, man, thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and you know, I love to talk football, so yeah, it'll be a pleasure to speak with you again.
Yeah, pleasure is all mine, guys. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you soon. So we'll put a link to your podcast as well, so that everybody can find you.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.